speaking to Des Nagel from the band The Safety File, who's actually a guitar player from the progressive metal band from the United Kingdom. What's up, Des?
How's it going? Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Good. I just want to say welcome to Metal Messiah Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So you want to tell me how the band The Safety File got started? You want to give a brief history?
Yeah, sure. Basically, the band started as a group of friends playing music more so than actually any kind of goal to be in a band or be a touring band or anything like that. We started when playing when we were 15.
Really?
Yeah, and we literally all got our instruments at that time, and everything kind of went from there, and I think it kind of, the band became more and more serious as we grew up and we got better and kind of developed to play the kind of music that we do today. I think it was kind of like in 2006, 2007 where we started to really develop our sound and kind of take it forward to where we are now, and obviously we released an EP and our album's coming out very soon, April 10th in the States, and yeah, touring the States, which is something which I don't think we ever really imagined would happen, but it's amazing to be here.
Awesome. So you want to tell me on, you know, your album which is about to come out, which is called, you know, Grind the Ocean.
Yeah.
Why did you actually choose that name for that album?
It was kind of, we always name our songs just kind of working titles before we actually go into kind of naming them, because we don't want to name the song necessarily just to do with the lyrics. We want to have a connection between the music and the lyrical themes. So we were going through and we're kind of like discussing name ideas for all the songs, and the song which we always felt was going to end the album, which is called Grind the Ocean, came about through that. And it kind of, I think it sums up the kind of lyrical themes, and also like we always kind of talk about our music in colours, and I feel that the ocean, in the sense of different shades of colours that you can kind of get within it,
right,
kind of express the kind of music that we play as well.
Cool. So who actually designed your album cover, which is yet to come out?
It's by an artist called Kim Taylor.
Really?
Yeah, he's an amazing artist, which we came across. He's not like done many bands in our genre before, but like we loved the kind of design work that he did, and we really felt, again, it really suited what we were doing musically, and was one of those things that it was kind of a great connection between two artists.
Cool. So how long did this CD take to make, you know, start to finish recording wise?
We started writing it as soon as we finished the second EP, which was released in 2009, but we kind of didn't have a goal necessarily to have an album, and then when we did, I think it was early 2010, we kind of felt that we really wanted to have a finished product to kind of go out there with. The actual kind of writing process was about 6 months or so, and then the recording was over a 2 month span, and we did it ourselves, so I produced it.
Cool.
Engineered it as well, and then
Jens
Fogren, who did Opeth and Casatonia, mastered it. So yeah, really, really happy with the final result.
Wow, I'm looking forward to hearing it, you know.
Thank you very much.
Especially hearing you playing live tonight, you know.
Yeah, no, it should be good fun.
Along with Periphery and, you know, Jeff Loomis, nonetheless, you know, and Protest the Hero. What kind of a lineup is that? It's sick.
Yeah, no, literally, I don't think we could think of any better band to go out on tour with, and it's, I think everyone's got their own thing going on, but there's obviously definitely like a mutual respect between all the musicians and also the fans that come to see us as well. They kind of have a crossover between the different groups. So yeah, it's an amazing lineup for all of us.
So, can you tell me like how your writing process is actually done? Where do you get your inspirations for your songs?
It's quite wide. Like, in terms of the actual music itself, we kind of take on influences from a wide range of,
right,
of bands and artists, like literally from death metal and jazz to pop and, you know, rock. And that all kind of accumulates into what we do, and I think one of the things we try and make sure with our music is it never feels conceited, in the sense that it feels forced or pushed. It's just we want to do music that we feel is interesting and comes across naturally. And lyrically, I think Sean kind of takes a lot of influence from writers, and also more so from kind of social surroundings and stuff like that. So it's kind of introspective, looking for how he sees the world as much as anything else.
So were you ever in any other bands or projects?
No, this is literally it.
Really?
So we started our instruments and been in the band since then. So it's a band of friends.
That's pretty killer. And now you're like out on tour with like legendary people, you know?
Yeah, no, completely. It's amazing to do.
So who actually are your musical influences for you? I mean, you have to have idols being a guitar player.
No, sure. Early on, bands like Resonance Machine and Megadeth were bands that my brother introduced to me when I was 7 or 8 years old. So I always have a soft spot for people like Dave Mustaine and Prince and a lot of the artists I grew up listening to, and they definitely are kind of bands that are still hugely influenced by now. They're more, obviously more modern music stuff like Carnival and Between the Buried and Me and Approach to the Hero and all those, like there's definitely a huge kind of pool of influences, as I said before, that we kind of take from me as a guitarist. There's so many people, the fact that we're playing with Jeff Loomis is a huge deal for me. To see him play the way he does every night is mind-blowing. And then, yeah, other guitarists like Steve Vai and Guthrie Govan, kind of more jazz-oriented guys like Alan Holdsworth and Frank Gambale as well.
Cool. So what actually is your favourite song off the album Grind to the Ocean to play guitar on?
Most fun. I think possibly the title track, Grind the Ocean, is one of the most fun to play, mainly because I've got quite a long solo on it, which is always fun to play. But I think it's different possibly in a live environment. I think in a live environment, the track called Animal King, just because it's really fun to play and you kind of enjoy yourself playing in front of the crowd with it.
Cool. So, I mean, what actually is your musical background? I mean, how did it all get started?
I think it was the kind of thing that my brother was in bands when I was growing up, and I kind of saw his, and it was definitely an influence on me when I was younger. And from there, I just kind of got more and more interested in music to the point where it kind of took over my life in itchy everything I did, to the point where I went to university and studied music as well.
Cool.
Actually, music production. So,
wow.
It's all absorbing, and it's hard to get away from it after a while. In terms of when you've spent so much time focused on one thing, it's hard to do anything else, even in your spare time.
So how's it actually working with Century Media?
Amazing so far. They've been really supportive of us. Like, half our team is Inside Out, and which has obviously got artists like Devin Townsend, which is huge.
Oh my God, yeah. He's awesome. Wow.
He is indeed. We hopefully we'll see what he's doing this year.
Wow.
Sure, he's going to have a couple more albums up his sleeve, if not four. But we're really looking forward to kind of seeing what the rest of the year holds for us. But they've been amazing to us so far, and really have helped us kind of, you know, come over to the States in the first place, which is an amazing task in itself, and I don't think many UK bands necessarily get to do that.
Very true. I mean, I just got done interviewing actually a UK band named Vendetta. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I can't say I have. No.
Yeah, there's some really awesome bands in the United Kingdom, especially, you know, I heard samples of your music, and it's pretty much mind-blowing, too.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. So how can your fans access your brand new CD whenever it comes out? I mean, where's it going to be actually available for them to get it?
It's going to be out on the all the usual kind of outlets, like iTunes and Amazon and all the kind of online stores, and then most good retail stores will be stocking it as well.
So what guitar equipment are you using, and I mean, are you endorsed?
I work with quite a few different companies. Like, I'm quite keen on playing bespoke instruments, or like bespoke equipment in general, and kind of fit the needs that I want. And I kind of like, we've thought about the idea of kind of working with larger companies, but I think there's definitely something to be said that our music kind of echoes the thoughts of those kind of like custom buildings, for example. So we play what look like Fender Telecasters, but they're more modern style versions of that guitar. And it's the kind of thing where people might be slightly confused by the aesthetic of it.
Right.
A Fender Telecaster played by musicians who are playing kind of like prog metal. So that kind of stuff definitely kind of comes to play. But we work with like that. That's made by a guy in London called Sam Walker, who owns Wireberg Guitars. And then we also work with companies like Bare Knuckle Pickups, who are hand wound in the UK. And then we're also working with Fractal Audio, who make the Active X2 unit, which we actually just got on the beginning of this tour, and it's an absolute godsend for our musicians.
That's awesome. You got yourself set up for that one. Seriously, so how do you actually feel about internet radio playing your music, such as whenever, you know, your album comes out, I'll definitely be spinning it.
No, it's amazing. I think like every bit of exposure we can get is obviously great, and the internet itself is one of the best ways to actually get people to hear our music for the first time. And I think it's a lot easier for someone to listen to a radio station than hearing your music, rather than going necessarily to go and find new music, because there's so much music about. It can be quite a daunting task unless you're kind of given some kind of stream to go and listen to, unless of course you want to go searching for it, but not everyone has the time to go and do that.
So how do you actually feel about people downloading your music on the internet?
It's, you know, there's two sides to that kind of story, and I think there's like there's definitely a positive to it. And like, we've had people come up to the shows to us saying when they downloaded our album but came to the show and bought one, because they wanted to buy a copy of the album, but they wanted to hear it before they came and saw us. So like, I think there's definitely two sides to it. I think more people come out to shows, or at least you'd hope that more people come out to shows because they've heard your music, whereas, you know, you'd have had less of a fan base necessarily if people were only being able to buy it legally. So I think, you know, I'd hope anyway that it works out for the artist in the end.
So how do you actually feel about the progressive or the power metal scene as a whole to, like, today, so, like, years ago? Do you think it changed? Do you think it got better? Do you think it got worse?
I think that, like, in terms of the music scene, music is diversifying more so over the last few years. And I think that's definitely to do with the fact that music is a lot more easy to come by in comparison to when, you know, there were only, say, like, 15 to 20 bands a year who really got to get their music pushed through the kind of standard media outlets. And to have that opportunity, especially I think in the UK, which is very media driven, to have the ability to be able to share music via the internet really does help in terms of diversifying what people listen to in the first place.
So what actually has been your biggest challenge?
As a musician?
As a musician, yeah.
Driving across America.
Really? Why is that?
I think it just got us a little getting used to it. We're driving around in the suburban, so we haven't really got the ability to lie down and sleep. So keeping upright on a motorway for 9 to 10 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Interesting for sure.
Wow.
It's fun. It has to be done.
Yeah, but I mean, there has to be, how about being in like a group as like, you know, your band from the Safety Fire? What has been your biggest challenge, would you say?
How do you mean? So as in like in terms of...
Like recording-wise, are there challenges, writing?
I think it's the kind of our own expectations. We've got a very high kind of level of what we want to be done, in not only for our music, but our content and our artwork and everything that kind of goes with it. And I think that's becoming more and more important in terms of bands today, as well as the kind of image that goes with the music, because you have to stand out in comparison to other bands. So having that kind of, not stress necessarily, but that burden to say that you want to have a certain level of output is quite tiresome. But as I say, it's for the love, and I think we all do it because of that.
So what bands are you actually listening to now?
Well, one of the bands that we were on tour with today, called The Plague, they kind of heard a few songs before we were on tour, but seeing them live every day has been mind-blowing to get to see them play. Bands like, obviously, Periphery and Jeff Loomis and Planet of the Heroes are all kind of things that we listen to. And then kind of all the kind of classic stuff that we grew up listening to, like Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden are spinning in the car every day. So yeah, no, it's good fun.
Cool. So are you going to be recording another album? I mean, do you have any songs written for it now?
We've started writing already, for sure. But I think at the moment we really need to focus in on this album, kind of stay in the moment, because there's so much that could possibly happen, obviously, in the next year or two promoting this album. We need to kind of stay focused for that.
I know, I'm going to help promote your album on Metal Messiah Radio. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I don't get paid.
No, well, thank you. That's the kind of people that really do help with this.
So, what do you like to do when you're not playing?
That's a hard thing, pretty much every day. There's not much time off, and in all honesty, as I say, you know, music really does take over everything that we do. So even we're not playing, we're thinking about what we can do promotional wise or videos and writing music or whatever. There's a lot to be done.
So what exactly does, you know, 2012 hold for the Safety Fire?
Well, our first US tour obviously is in progress at the moment. We're going back to the UK to do a couple of festivals. We're playing Download Festival.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a really amazing lineup. So to play with the bands like that is just, again, kind of mind-blowing again. So and then we actually just announced today we're going to be doing a tour with Between the Buried and Periphery in Europe and the UK. So that's good.
Congratulations on that one.
Thank
that is phenomenal.
Much. Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Wow. You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Keep busy.
That's killer. How do you like the United States, actually?
It's been amazing so far. I think what the really interesting thing is going to each different state to see how different it can be. Everyone's been extremely helpful to us, and can't thank everyone enough in terms of how kind of open and warm they have been to us. But yeah, as I say, like, we went to Kansas, we went to Lawrence, which we never knew what to really expect there. It was like a small little hippie town, which was awesome.
You have the corn people over there, right?
Yeah,
sorry, people who are from Kansas that listen to me, you know. But
yeah, it was. We didn't know what to expect from somewhere like that, and yeah, it was an awesome like little university town. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Wow. So did I forget anything that you want to mention to people that are not familiar with the music that will be familiar with the music since I will be spinning it?
Yeah, no, just check us out on Facebook and YouTube. We've got a couple of videos up, and check out the other songs we've got online, and obviously our album out April 10th via Inside Out Music and Century Media.